Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening all of it on WNYC. Welcome back. It's Monday, and on Mondays on this show, we listen to music with the creative director from our sister station, WQXR. That's Ms. Clemency Burton Hill. Every week, she stops by to play us some music and share some of the stories from her book, Year of Wonder, Classical Music to Enjoy Day by Day. This week, we're talking Beethoven, Schumann, and more. Clemmy, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Okay, so we are going to May 20th.
Today,
let's look with Clara Schumann.
Yeah, I love the fact that you just said we're looking at Schumann this week, because if you have any understanding of classical music, and obviously it's fine if you don't, you might think that we're talking about Robert Schumann. But no, today we are talking about his wife, the lovely Clara Schumann. All this year, 2019, we're celebrating the 200th anniversary of the birth of this extraordinary woman. And this day happens to be the day that she died in 1896. And she is such an extraordinary role model. I'm very happy to say that we are now at a point where we're really beginning to understand the contribution that women have made to classical music over the centuries, even though they have largely been neglected, as you can imagine, and sort of pushed out of the canon for so long. But Clara Schumann is definitely one of those sheroes, if you like, of the classical world. Her own music was absolutely beautiful, as we're about to hear, and she served as a muse and inspiration to many other composers besides, including her own husband, Robert. But she also had to do so many other things. You will no doubt sympathise, Alison, as a working mother, but she had 8 children. She basically ran the household. She was the chief breadwinner. She had to look after her grandchildren. She had to deal, very sadly, with multiple cases of mental illness in her family, including that of Robert, her husband, who had a really, really difficult struggle all his life with his mental health. And at one point she says, "Composing gives me great pleasure. There is nothing that surpasses the joy of creation, if only because through it one wins hours of self-forgetfulness when one lives in a world of sound." And I often think, you know, we call it things like, you know, self-care or me time. I feel like Clara Schumann must have needed that. So we're going to hear some music today from Clara on the day that she died. And this is her Scherzo number 2 in C minor.
Productive me time.
That is very productive me time, isn't it? But also, did that say to you women's music, Alison? Did you think, I know, the person who wrote this must have been a female?
It did not, although knowing that it is a female composer, the complexity has another level to me in my mind.
I love that, because she did have to publish under a male pseudonym for a long time.
Interesting.
Probably won't be a surprise to many. And, you know, funnily enough, when she did, no one was like, hey, this sounds like women's music. It can't possibly have been written by a dude. They just thought, hey, that sounds like great music. And lo and behold, it was.
So we're going to go to May 24th for a piece that you describe in the first sentence as a colossus.
Yeah, I think there's no other word for it. It's the Piano Concerto No. 5 by Beethoven. And I love the fact that he just catapults us straight in here and pretty much cries, all right, let's go. And it's a pretty thrilling musical ride that he then takes us on. And this piece, from a sort of technical and musicological perspective, does occupy a really interesting point in history. He sort of sits bestride the classical and the romantic eras, and this is a monumental achievement in a way that looks both back and forward.
Ludwig van Beethoven, Piano Concerto No. 5.
Thank you.
could listen to 20 minutes of that easily.
Right. It'd be a great way to spend your 20 minutes,
yes,
I think.
Yes, definitely.
And it gets even better. It's sort of really propulsive. It's interesting because we think sometimes of Beethoven as having this really difficult life. He went deaf very early, mm-hmm, and he was a bit of a tortured genius in some ways. But he writes such joyous music as well, and that's a great example of joy.
On May 25th, it's Argentina Day.
Yeah, it is indeed. And so I've chosen music by a contemporary Argentinian composer, Jorge Cardoso. He was born in 1949. And talk about multi-talented. He is not just a guitarist and composer. He's also a teacher and a prolific author and a qualified medical doctor. How many talents does one man need?
Did not see that last one coming around the bend.
And this is a piece called Milonga. And I found out that that is a place or a gathering where people go to dance the tango. And it may also mean a particular type of dance or a particular tune to which tangueros dance. And I love pieces of music that act as sort of sonic magic carpets. And this is one of those pieces for me. I listen, I close my eyes, and I'm kind of transported. We're no longer downtown in New York City. We're sort of being transported south to a milonga, and we're gonna go dance a little tango. Why not?
I'm quite literally taking a picture of the page in this book because I'm going to listen to this later.
Yes! I love that. Why is it that you want to go and recreate this one, Alison? What was it about it?
I'm not going to read what you wrote, but I liked the idea of this at the end of the day. This feels very much like a piece of music that can be the transition, the conduit between your work and then your life at home. Clemmy, thank you. We'll meet you back here next week. And listeners, of course, you can always listen to classical music anytime at our sister station, WQXR 105.9 FM or WQXR.org.